LT, I know you've had some hours now to crunch the numbers. What do you make of the Darnell Nurse 8-year, $9.25 million contract?
Well, timing is everything, and the last few weeks we've seen contracts go out to a couple of guys that are actually more than that in Seth Jones and the defenseman for Columbus. So I guess I was initially surprised. Then you're looking at what it is, how long it is. And the other thing, I think that a lot of people who are looking at the number and going, what happened, don't remember or are forgotten about, is there are no RFA seasons here. These are all UFA years that are being bought. So whereas in 2017, when they went to McDavid and Draisaitl and were buying some RFA and UFA seasons, in the case of Nurse, two opportunities, two bridge contracts had been signed, and all of those RFA years that could have been added in and reduced the total cap number are gone. So it's not really apples to apples when you're comparing them to other contracts. This was buying eight free agent seasons on the back of the Seth Jones contract. So, I think it's a lot of money. I think that the Oilers probably regret not having done this sooner, going back to really, 4 years ago, four off seasons ago. But they didn't, and this is the price. They needed a number one guy. If you don't sign Nurse, you're going to have to trade him, and you're not going to get the full value for him. So they're trying to win a Stanley Cup, and this is the price that they have paid, and a lot of things led up to it, but we're here now, and they've got their guy.
Yeah, and I don't think this deal is basically market value when you look at all the recent contracts. And Darnell Nurse, just told me when I asked him the question flat out, hey, he was thinking 4 years up until all these contracts got signed. Then he's like, well, wait a sec. You know what? Those guys, he plays more minutes than them. He scores as many points as all those guys. Now, you can look at some analytics, and some analytics people at least have to accept that when you're on a better team, on a deeper team, you're going to have better analytics away from the top line. Like, this is not rocket science. It's pretty simple. So I just, the going rate suddenly, Alan, it changed quickly. I didn't expect it. Most of us thought Dougie Hamilton would get $8 million, and that would kind of be the barometer to go with. And then all of a sudden, Cale Makar getting $9 million because it's all RFA years, that changed it. Craig Button even mentioned that Pietrangelo, who was older, got 8.8, that even that was one that, would make you think a little bit. But I think all of a sudden the Jones and Werenski one just completely changed it.
Yeah, and you're buying UFA seasons. You want them on here as long as you can. I saw somebody today say, well, now he's untradeable. And obviously there's places that I think it's 5 years, there's no trade. But I'll tell you, if they don't win and guys like Leon start exiting, Nurse will want to go somewhere and he will have value. I don't see NHL general managers changing so much in the next 8 years that Darnell Nurse doesn't have extreme value. He's fast as lightning. He's huge. He's tough. I mean, there's no fear in the guy. And I know that he shot lights out this year and he shot very well. But the Oilers could have done themselves a favor by playing him with other lines. They didn't because they wanted to optimize the McDavid line. So, we're here because the Oilers, made Darnell Nurse into what he is today by deploying him that way. So they had to pay for it, and they did.
Al Mitchell joins them at Sports Leader TSN 1260. The summer is virtually over for the Edmonton Oilers, unless there's a surprise trade of Mikko Koskinen. I think the lineup is what it is, Al. So I actually think the Oilers are a better team. Where do you come out?
Well, I think that up front they've really improved. And I think Hyman is a great addition to this team. And I think Fogel is, and I think Ryan is. And, they're going to have some younger players like Ryan McLeod on the team, and I think he's going to be better than what they had last year. I guess he would replace Gaetan Haas. So they've upgraded at the forward position, and their big problem has always been the third line and the fourth line getting caved in possession and in 5-on-5 goals. I think that will improve. So that alone says that they're going to be better. The goaltending, I don't know. Dom Lecician was on the show from The Athletic today, and he on the lowdown, and he said something very interesting. He said, the way goaltending works, Koskinen might end up having a great year this year. And I think that there's, you know, there part of the fan base is like, you got to get that guy off the roster. But buying him out makes no sense. His trade value isn't high. And seriously, he could come in and have a really good year this year. Now, I think they'll make a move by or at the deadline. I believe that. And we'll see. But the only question I have, really, I just think the Adam Larsson loss is going to be big. They late in a game when Nurse would play with Larsson or Bear when they were trying to get a one-goal lead home, I don't know who they have. And look, it's Dave Tippett will figure it out. He'll find out who that guy is. But there's some questions on the defensive side that lead me to believe that they're not completely done, but better. Yeah, I think their forwards make them better.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at how many games that actually happened that we're talking about for those situations like that. I think I think you're going to see Bouchard and Barry switch at different times with Darnell Nurse this season. It's going to start with Barry because continuity matters a lot. And Bouchard comes in and just I think Bouchard play. I can't stand people like, well, don't rush players, but man, you got to give this guy an opportunity. No, you don't. The player's got to show you he's ready to play. Right? He's got to show you he's ready to go there. And I think that's what you'll see from Evan Bouchard. Might only be a month, right? Might be 6 weeks. We'll have to see. But I think eventually you'll see Evan Bouchard up there. And as you saw, what people I kind of find funny is what you saw in the playoffs. Remember when they took Barry away from Nurse for one game? Did you see how good Barry and Slater Cuckoo were? Does anybody not remember this game? And then because Bear struggled, they had to put Barry back with him. Everybody seems to magically forget that. It's quite the select memory I always find. You know, at key times, when the games mattered, Tyson Barry was very good. And, I'd like him to maybe be that more defensively aware in the regular season. But in the postseason, how Tyson Barry played, and you know what? And if he ends up being your third pair defenseman in the postseason because Bouchard at 6'3" plays more, that's a really good problem.
It'll be interesting to see how Tippett handles the defense because there's a bunch of really talented young guys who we assume aren't going to be NHL ready. Samarikov, Roberg, and yet we don't know, right? We just don't know. And on the left side, I think people will be surprised how much they see Chris Russell in games. I really do. I think he'll play more than most people believe. I think some people think he's going to be a number seven defenseman, and that may be. But the way they're sitting right now, I think Lajesson is trying to hold off all the competition for number seven. I think Russell would slide in probably with Bouchard on the third pair, and he can penalty kill. He can do a lot of things. He does block shots, so he'll be valuable in that way. I think Chris Russell will play more than people think he will.
In the games he's healthy, Al. I think right now you go into a season with the plan that Chris Russell's a 50-game player. And just because I think, the way he plays the game, he'll block any shot at any point, and it just leads to injuries. It's just how it is with him. And it's, everybody respects him for it, but I think, they're going to sign another left defenseman. Here might be Slater Cuckoo because they know what they got here, and he also can help on the penalty kill because that's going to be a key thing. Russell obviously can kill penalties, but they need someone who can play the right side because I think the biggest area they're going to miss Bear is on the penalty kill. He was an exceptional, well-positioned player on the penalty kill.
Well, I think they'll miss Bear everywhere, but I think they'll miss him on the penalty kill, also outlet passing. That's why I think Bouchard will be important to this team because you want to be able to have somebody on every pairing that can move the puck. I'm not concerned about Keith being on the second pair or CeCe. They can move the puck. Nurse can move the puck. Certainly Tyson Barry can. On that third pair, Bouchard, if he's not there, if you've got, say, Russell and Cuckoo or whomever or Lajesson, you're going to be having one of those pairings that can't get out of their own zone for more than a little while. So Bouchard, to me, is key to that pairing. I'd love to have seen somebody like Murray. Now, he signed for more than I thought he would, but I don't see anybody out there, but that doesn't mean that Cuckoo can't do the job. I really liked Cuckoo 2 years ago. He got hurt here, but 2 years ago in Chicago, he really looked good.
See, I think Evan Bouchard's going to be better than Ethan Bear. I really do. So maybe I'll be wrong on that, but I think Evan Bouchard will fill the void of Ethan Bear, and other than on the penalty kill.
I think Evan Bouchard is better than a lot of guys on the team. What I'm saying is that Bouchard, I'd like him to have a veteran. I think he could pass a lot of people on this roster. He's a great passer of the puck, but there are things that he's going to have to grow into, and he's only played, 20-some games so far in the National Hockey League. But as a puck passer, he is brilliant at 5-on-5 on the power play. He's just an excellent passer. Got great touch, tape to tape. He's excellent. He really is outstanding.
Oh, totally agree. Al, it was a little nerve-wracking moments when the Elks canceled their availability today. Turns out two players, Brian Walker, active roster, he's off due to COVID protocols. Didn't even get to one game before that happened. I'm hearing the Elks are actually one of the lower vaccinated teams in the CFL, so this might be a storyline to follow all season. Their linebacking core didn't have a ton of experience. Now they got even less with Walker out. I'm fascinated to see what the defense brings tomorrow. I think luckily they're going against Ottawa, who I don't expect to have a great offense.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. This is actually a really, like, I watched the game last night, and you know, Hamilton had a lot going on, but they sort of lost the plot on offense. But Winnipeg, God, I mean, if they'd been playing Winnipeg tomorrow, the Blue Bombers looked mid-season to me. They were outstanding. So I don't think Ottawa is going to be much for Edmonton. I think the Elks offense is going to roll over. It's going to be a high-scoring game. But it'll be a chance to kind of, you know, see what they have defensively and work on some things. And you know, it's a long season, and everybody, I'm looking at the depth charts for the games that have been released so far, and it's going to take fans a while to figure out who's who and what's going on. There's some new linemen all over the CFL, yeah. So it's going to be fun here, first weekend and first few, actually.
Well, Al, I know your favorite team are the Rough Riders, so enjoy having your watermelon on your head tonight. You and Mrs. Low Tide, enjoy the game.
Well, I'm going to try to get the channel changer away from her to watch the Bo Sox in the Olympics, but I think I will be watching CFL tonight. So he's got an idea about, you know, who's in charge at the house.
Well, hey, there you go. Well, you know what? I'm not sure the Olympics can be any more exciting than it was for that hour and a half this morning, from Mohammed with the silver to the 4x100 bronze to the women gold in soccer. It was an amazing morning.
It was that soccer game will live in infamy. What I still cannot believe that ball didn't go in for Sweden. I don't like the gods of whatever decided Canada was going to win. That was if you're Sweden, you probably live the rest of your life wondering how the hell that ball didn't go in.
Yeah. Oh, they're going to be well, and the fact, Al, that all the then you just score one of their final two goals in the shootout, and they win. Like, they had the chance and couldn't get it done. So, but hey, great job by Labbe. She was on fire when it mattered in between the pipes.
Very intimidating in the goal. Like,
I loved it.
She kept smiling. I'm like, what the hell? You know, and I think it did get them off their game a little bit, because she was and she's great. Like, the whole Olympics, she was fantastic in the shootouts, and there were a lot of them, but she was great. What a great effort, and I'm so pleased for Sinclair and everybody there. It's been a long time coming, but that makes it even sweeter, so it was outstanding.
Well, she just looked at the shooter like your wife looks at you, Al, intimidating.
Boy, there's so much truth in that.
Have a good one.